CTV.
Martin Zender here, kinda, maybe, hoping to give you even more of a reason to get up in the morning. I mean, we already have coffee, that's a great reason. Some of you make oatmeal, some of you fry eggs, all great reasons to get up. When I was a kid, it was Captain Crunch and Life cereal and Raisin Bran and Cocoa Krispies and Super Sugar Crisp. But I'll give you an even more great reason to get up in the morning, and that is the knowledge that we, little old we, be finishing up this eon. Little old we be finishing up what Paul started. Yeah, the Apostle Paul and his co-workers and all the believers of that era. They started it, we are finishing it. Think of us as bookends. Watch the patio cam. They started it, we finish it. This is amazing. I'm not disparaging anybody in between here. But to each as God appoints. We don't have anything, as I said yesterday, that we have not obtained, that we have not gotten first from God. And God has put us in an esteemed position. We are, where did the angel Gabriel say to Miriam? Blessed are you among women. Why? Obviously, she was going to carry in her womb the Messiah. God is saying to you and to me, blessed are you among all humanity, for I have chosen you to complete, relatively speaking, the body of Christ. We're not completing the Word of God. Paul completed the Word of God. The Word of God is complete. And absolutely speaking, Jesus Christ is the one who completes his body. But how can they hear, or how can they be believing unless they hear? And how can they be hearing unless someone is sent? And how can someone be sent unless they are commissioned? Commissioned by who? Commissioned by God. God has placed us at the end of Aeon 3, at the cusp between the evil aeons and the good aeons, to run the last lap of the calling out of the members of the body of Christ. One of us will be used by God to bring the last member of the body of Christ in. You know who the first member was? Paul. You know who the last member will be? I don't know. Some guy in Wisconsin named Rick. Or some lady in Louisiana named Phyllis. I don't know. But may God cause you to be the one who bring them in. Now, what's Paul doing in Philippians chapter 3? What's he getting all excited about? Why is he getting worked up? Doesn't he realize that salvation is of grace? Paul says in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 3, but to be sure, I am deeming all to be a forfeit because of the superiority of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, because of whom I forfeited all and am deeming it to be refuse that I should be gaining Christ and may be found in him, not having my righteousness, which is of law, that was the old way for this guy, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is from God for faith, to know him. And here's where he gets crazy. To know him, okay, we all know him. I'm in verse 10 now of Philippians 3. And the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, conforming to his death, if somehow I should be attaining to the out resurrection that is out from among the dead. Strange wording there. I'm going to be getting into that. I don't pretend to understand it, but I'll take a stab at it. Not that I've already obtained. Why is he using words like obtaining and obtaining? He said earlier in a verse I read to you yesterday from, where was that? Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, that no one has obtained anything except what they have first received from God. Yet Paul's talking about a struggle. He's talking about an effort. Not that I already obtain or am already perfected, yet I am pursuing. What is this pursuit? What is he pursuing? Why would he have to pursue salvation? Salvation pursued us. The salvation of Christ pursued us, and it found us. So what is Paul pursuing here? Yet I am pursuing, if I may be grasping also, that for which I was grasped also by Christ Jesus. Brother, not as yet am I reckoning myself to have grasped. Not as yet? Is Paul saying, not as yet do I realize I've been saved? No, he's not. Salvation is in the bag. With you, with me, salvation is in the bag. We were chosen in Christ from before the disruption of the world for membership into his body. He's not talking about that. Brethren, not as yet am I reckoning myself to have grasped, yet one thing, forgetting indeed those things which are behind, yet stretching out. All these active verbs here. To those in front, toward the goal am I pursuing, for the prize, that's the word the man uses here, for the prize of God's calling above. Some versions will say the high calling. This is God's calling above in Christ Jesus. Paul then says, whoever then are mature may be disposed to this. So some people who are not mature will not be disposed to this. There are some in the body of Christ who are not mature. This does not mean they're not in the body of Christ. It also doesn't mean that they believe wacky things. Some people think that if somebody believes in free will or eternal torment or the Trinity, well, they're just immature in Christ. No, they're not even in Christ. They're not even in Christ to either be mature or immature. Even the immature in Christ will believe the foundational teachings. Not every nuance, but certainly the death of Christ for sin. That is, that your sin was taken care of before you were born, therefore your default setting is not eternal, a sinner bound for eternal torment, but your default setting when you're born is saved by Jesus Christ. Because you're a son or daughter of Adam. Even the most immature baby in the body of Christ will know that. They will also know that Jesus Christ died. They won't have any crazy idea in their head that Jesus Christ is his own father. That Jesus Christ is literally, absolutely God instead of who he said he was, the Son of God. These are not what I've just told you. And the fact that God is sovereign. The sovereignty of God. The truth that God is operating all things. The truth that Jesus Christ, by virtue of his death, took away sin, irrespective of anyone's belief in it. And the fact that Jesus Christ literally died. These are baby beliefs. These aren't mature teachings. They're not. They only seem mature because the world is so dumbed down. These are not mature teachings. These are elementary, these are the basics. Even the immature in Christ will believe these things. We're like, ooh, wow, this person's really far along in Christ. They believe in the salvation of all. Far along? That's salvation 101. Yeah, you learn that in first grade in the body of Christ. That God is operating all things in accord with his own will, Ephesians 1:11, and the fact that that would necessarily disprove human free will, that's kindergarten material. These aren't mature teachings at all. Even the immature in the body of Christ will believe this. So what these things? What is Paul talking about as far as straining for maturity? He's talking about a high calling. He's talking about something above and beyond salvation. This out-resurrection from among the dead. Some people have called this the better resurrection. I don't know if that applies here, but I know there are different levels of glory in Christ, even within the body. Sure, 1 Corinthians 15, star is excelling star in glory. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon. There's one glory of the circumcision gospel, one glory of the uncircumcision gospel. In the circumcision gospel, you have your 12 disciples. They have a certain glory. And then you have the proselytes of Israel. They also have a certain glory, but it's not as bright as the apostles. This is normal. this is to be expected. The common denominator is salvation, but within that salvation, there are things to strive for, and this is what Paul's talking about here, because God knows that if there wasn't something to strive for, you see, Christians think they're striving for salvation, right? I mean, yes, we all have a human, I guess not all of us, but a lot of us have a human desire to strive. It feels good. You feel good when you overcome something. There has to be a little grit in your life, or life becomes flat, dull, boring, and there's no accomplishment. The problem with Christians is they think that this struggle gets them saved. It's like, what? No, you were saved 2,000 years ago by Christ. So what, there's no more struggle? And that's what most people think. Most people that come into the salvation of all, this is a problem I've noticed. They think, well, I'm in the salvation of all. It's completely by the grace of God, so there's no more struggle. But that can't be any good, because without a struggle, you don't grow. Without a struggle, you don't come from immaturity to maturity. So, ladies and gentlemen, God has graciously granted us to, there's still an opportunity, if I can use that word, relatively, to struggle. Well, what are we struggling for, Martin, if we're already saved? Ah, the calling above, the high calling, for the place of an allotment in Christ, to suffer, to share in his sufferings, as Paul says. Not everybody in the body of Christ has to share in his sufferings. To some degree, they will. But in some degree, they won't. So Paul says, whoever are mature may be disposed to this. And if anything, you are disposed differently, God will reveal this to you. So if this little Vince Lombardi speech I'm giving you is exciting you, and it's like, wow, the end's not over yet, I still have an opportunity God is giving me to suffer evil, to herald, to go out, to take this message, to get some suffering so that I could trade it in for glory. Yes, yes, that's still there. But God will make that known to you, as Paul says here. To those who are not disposed to that, it's like, I'm not feeling it. I just want to relax in Christ, be content, and just revel in my salvation. Fine. God will make that plain to you. And do not condemn yourself for it. So many people apologize to me. Martin, I'm sorry. I just don't. You don't need to apologize. You don't want to study? I understand, it's hard. You don't want to get out of your comfort zone and give somebody a book or talk to them about God? Who says you have to do that? You don't. Let each be disposed to whatever disposition God has given them. And Paul finishes this section, verse 16 of Philippians 3, by saying, moreover, in what we outstrip others, in other words, in what we do better than everybody else, there is to be a mutual disposition to be observing the elements by the same rule. That is, somebody who's like, I'll use myself for an example. I am running a race. I feel like a soldier. I feel like I am set up by God to defend the evangel, to herald the word opportunely and inopportunely, to expose, rebuke, and entreat. I feel as though I know I am on this path described by Paul. So that's me. Paul is saying, if in anything, in what we outstrip others, so I outstrip many others, and that's my goal. I want to outstrip everybody else. I want to work harder than everybody else to get this evangel. I want to have more videos, more books, more audios, more conferences. I want to do more than anybody. Why? Because of my flesh? No, because I'm competing. And Paul mentions, moreover, in what we outstrip others, so there will be some people who outstrip others. Even Paul said, Paul says, I do more than the other apostles at one place, right? He says, all right, listen, you compel me to boast. I'd rather boast in my weaknesses, and he does, but at one place he's exasperated and he says, look, you guys think the apostles in Jerusalem are so great? I work 10 times harder than those guys do, okay? But there's to be a mutual disposition toward your fellow believers. Nobody's lording. I'm not lording it over anybody. If somebody looks at me or if I look at somebody else, and if I am compelled to do more because I see them doing more, good. But it's not like they're making me feel guilty. And God forbid I should make somebody else feel like they're not pulling their weight. No, I will not do that intentionally. But if I see in someone a disposition toward this, I will push them toward it. Yes, I will. So we are to be observing the elements. We never leave the elements. We never leave the foundational truths that we are justified by God's grace. That applies to those of us who are running this race and those of us who are watching the race. We observe the same elements. That is, we're all justified. God is conciliated to us all. We all have a place in the body of Christ. We're all necessary. Not one of us is expendable. I cannot do without any one of you, and you can't do without me. So we're all, this ought to make you feel good. You are inhabiting your place in the body of Christ. Now, I still haven't talked about the conversation with the sister at the meeting. I can't believe it's been 2 days now. I've been wanting to do that. I haven't gotten to it. What I should do tomorrow is get to Philippians. No, 2 Timothy. Yeah, I should get to 2 Timothy. Speak more on this suffering. I bring this up because now is the season for it. Folks, there is limited opportunity left. Get it while it's hot. What I'm talking about is suffering. What I'm talking about is going out of your comfort zone, stretching ahead. Paul says stretching ahead. When you're stretching, I think that assumes that you're going out of your comfort zone. There's not much time left. You're buying up cheap stock because suffering, even a penny of suffering produces a pound of glory, even more. And if you're disposed to this, God will make this evident to you.